If you haven't met me, my name's Paul. We're intentionally taking a pause from our messages in 1 Corinthians, although we certainly plan to continue studying this book together. But for the next 4 weeks, we are going to have a message series titled Legacies of Faith. And we're going to look at specific examples in the Bible. Today I'm going to look at the legacy of faith passed down from Elijah to Elisha. Next Sunday, Marcello is going to preach on the legacy of faith handed on from Moses to Joshua. Then Catherine, our summer intern, is going to preach about the instructions and example given from Paul to Timothy. Then I'll conclude the series at our outdoor service speaking about Jochebed and her children. So you have a few weeks to figure out who Jochebed is if you don't already know. And to me, it's so appropriate, so wonderful that we have three different speakers, Paul, Marcello, Catherine, each separated by about 20 years in age, preaching on the topic of legacies of faith. But maybe don't go overboard on trying to guess our ages, just saying. I am really excited about this series. I'm going to hype this series up because I believe it is an essential topic. We are talking about handing down the faith, training new leadership, investing in the lives of others, not being an island, passing the torch, building something that lasts beyond yourself. Just choose a metaphor and go with it. We are speaking into the idea of not trying to do everything alone. Working together, learning from each other, younger learning from older, and also older learning from younger. For example, there are things that I can teach Catherine, but there are also things I can learn from her. I've seen her insightfulness in connecting with others. She shows me new ways of thinking, fresh ideas, a different perspective. We learn from each other, and that applies to all of us. We learn from each other. Our theme for this year, our focus for the year is a lasting legacy. A lasting legacy. We are prayerfully, intentionally, and humbly attempting to serve God, to follow Jesus in a way that goes beyond what is happening now. We desire to multiply, to impact future generations, to train new leaders, to reach more people with the good news of Jesus, to participate in God's forward-moving mission. Pave the way, the renovations, the improvements in the building. That's an example of how we're seeking to impact more people. Alpha, it's an opportunity to serve others and share Jesus in a fresh and exciting way, free of judgment and full of love. Zoe training, life groups, prayer teams, kids' church, Bible day camp, all are part of a legacy of faith. Creating and sharing an ongoing legacy of faith takes planning, purpose, vision, and it can only be done under God's direction and in God's timing. Creating and sharing a legacy of faith also requires flexibility, spontaneity, joy, the understanding that God works both inside and outside of plans and programs. And honestly, that's growth for me to talk about spontaneity and flexibility, because I've been a champion of structure and planning most of my life. And planning's not wrong. Planning is good. But it's not everything. God is bigger than our plans and programs. Be open to what God is placing right in front of you. Pray with someone in the lobby. Help someone move. Share a meal. Offer childcare. Take the time to listen. Have the courage to ask for help. Follow the Spirit each and every moment. That's how you create a legacy of faith. We say, Spirit, lead me. And it was wonderful to see many coming forward last week to follow the prompting of the Spirit, to be open to new and expanding ministry, perhaps pastoral ministry, perhaps missions, either in Canada or other countries. And after coming forward, now is the time for you to connect, to find support. It's our responsibility and privilege to connect with you, to offer support, encouragement, training, opportunity, legacies of faith under God's direction and in God's timing. And if you came forward last week, or God is speaking to you today, and you don't feel connected to anyone, please come talk to me or one of the pastors or other leaders, or send an email or fill in a connect card and hand it in. It is our joy to support you in what God is calling you to do. Let's turn to our Bible passage for today in 1 Kings chapter 19 and look at the legacy of faith passed down from Elijah to Elisha. And this passage is the start, the very beginning of the transition of prophetic leadership from Elijah to Elisha. It's important to understand that the transition is not instantaneous. There's a period of time where Elisha learns from Elijah. Elisha follows Elijah and becomes his servant. 1 Kings 19, 21. And the transition of leadership is completed in 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah is taken up to heaven, and Elisha receives a double portion of his spirit. But this morning, we're going to focus on 1 Kings 19, verses 9 to 16. The encounter with God on Mount Horeb. We can learn from this passage that legacies of faith must begin and continue under God's direction and in God's timing. Our story begins with a question. Verse 9, the Lord asks Elijah, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" The challenge and also the beauty, I'd say, of Old Testament narratives is that they're usually presented as a story with little or no commentary. So what exactly did the Lord mean when he asked Elijah, "What are you doing here?" We realize that the question is important because it's repeated in verse 13. And when a detail is repeated in an Old Testament narrative, that's a strong indication that it's significant. What are you doing here? It's a probing question, a question that calls for self-examination of actions, of motives, of direction. What if God asked our church that same question? What are you doing here? What are you doing in the building renovations, in the music, in the soak time, in kids' church, in life groups, in your lives as the church scattered, in your workplace, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your singleness, in your friendships, in your love for neighbor? What are you doing here? If God asked us that question, wouldn't we fall to our knees in awe? Wouldn't we say, "Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Lord, what do you want us to be doing here?" Let's invite God to ask the questions, and let's trust him to show us the answers. Allow God complete and final control of the direction and the timing. After all, it's God's mission. We have the joy of participating in creating legacies of faith under God's direction and in God's timing. God instructs Elijah in verse 11, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a series of awesome, powerful, most likely terrifying events: wind, earthquake, fire. But a rather strange thing is happening. Because wouldn't you expect God to be in the wind? Like in Exodus 14, 21, where God drives back the waters of the sea with a strong wind, and the Israelites walk across on dry ground, delivered from Egypt. Or wouldn't you expect God to be in the earthquake? Like in Matthew 27, 51 and 52, at the moment of Christ's death on the cross. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Or wouldn't you expect God to be in the fire? In 1 Kings chapter 18, just the previous chapter, Elijah experiences the fire of God on Mount Carmel, the all-consuming fire. But God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. Sometimes we have our own expectations for what we think God should do, how God should do it, and when God should do it. We need to let go of these kind of narrow expectations, our own agendas, embrace the mystery, complexity, and love of an all-powerful God. God is able to deliver in any way that he chooses, in any time that he chooses. He is able to heal the afflicted, to restore the brokenhearted, to rescue the hopeless. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Ephesians 3:20. Legacies of faith are built by God. Yes, we matter. We are valuable. God delights in working in and through us, and we delight in serving God. Yes, we must always realize that legacies of faith are built by God. God moving in our church, God moving in our families, God moving in our community, in our camps, like the Noose Bay Camp, like our upcoming Bible Day Camp, God moving across the globe, involving us in building legacies of faith. After the wind, earthquake, and fire came a gentle whisper, the whisper of God. One thing about a whisper is that you can't hear it if you're busy talking. You have to listen carefully to hear a whisper. We listen intently to hear God's whisper. Another thing about a whisper is that it's not loud. It's not forceful. In fact, if it's too loud, it actually ceases to be a whisper. In her last years before my mom passed, her hearing started to go, so it was understandable, but she didn't know how loud she was when she would whisper. And I mean no disrespect. I love Mom. I couldn't ask her if I could use this story, but there's some humor here. And one time she gave one of her grandchildren a really nice piece of jewelry for her birthday. And then she whispered to keep it a surprise, but we all heard it. I have the same thing for your sister on her birthday. A whisper is soft. A whisper is gentle, like the knock of Jesus at the door to your heart. If you let him in, you'll have new life. I'll ask the music team to come back up. The reality of this story from 1 Kings is that God, who is perfectly capable of speaking through wind, earthquake, and fire, deliberately chose to gently whisper, instructing Elijah to anoint two who would be kings and one who would be a prophet, one who in time would carry on Elijah's legacy of faith, Elisha. And we see God's direction and God's timing in this particular story, throughout Scripture, and in our own lives. Let us partner joyfully with God. Let us prayerfully listen to God, allowing Him to build legacies of faith. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, Spirit, Lead Me. And I encourage you to sing it as a prayer. Sing it from your heart. And if you'd like to come forward, you could stand, you could quietly kneel before God to hear his whisper. Feel free to do that as well. Let's sing together. Spirit, Lead Me.